Welcome to the American Hard Enduro Podcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Will with American Hard Enduro, and it's 2024 already. Can't believe it, but a race in the U.S. Hard Enduro Series has already taken place. The 2024 King of Motos took place this past weekend in Johnson Valley, California. Cody Webb took the win on his Sherco. Tristan Hart was second on his KTM. Ryder LeBlanc, third place, Husqvarna. Will Reardon, fourth on the Gas. Following those guys, I guess those guys were pretty close for at least two laps, and then Cody kind of stretched it out there at the end. Fifth place, Cooper Abbott. Sixth, Colton Haker. James Flynn, seventh. Kewilo Huddy, eighth place. Hayden Mosa and Danny Lewis, that's your top 10. Kudos to all those guys for getting out to California, especially the East Coast guys. That's a haul. Getting all the way out there. It's about as far west coast as you can get in the U.S. So this year, the podcast is being brought to you by CW2 Training. CW2, that's obviously Cody Webb. He's got a new training program coming out. It's going to be online-based, and then he's going to mix that in with his actual in-riding classes. So if you're a hard enduro rider, you likely are if you're listening to this podcast, then you'll probably want to give this a shot. I'm looking forward to digging into it myself. A little bit older for hard enduro rider, but that's okay. I think I can still learn a lot, especially from the GOAT himself, Cody Webb. So that's our first big sponsor. And then our next sponsor is On the Rocks Windrock. On the Rocks is a Airbnb property, 10 acres out in Oliver Springs, Tennessee. The property actually touches Windrock Mountain or Windrock riding area. So if you're coming to Windrock, give On the Rocks a shout. They've got a larger house that sleeps up to 9, and then they have two smaller container homes that sleep 2 each. So if you're planning on riding some hard enduro at Windrock, look up On the Rocks Windrock on the Airbnb app and check that out. So we had a chance to sit down with Cody Webb, not really sit down with him, talk to him on the phone, record it, bring you guys, you know, what happened yesterday. What was Brian Pierce talking about? If you happen to, you know, watch the live coverage, get a little bit more insight from Cody. So hopefully you guys enjoy it. Give it a listen. And towards the end, Cody does talk about his new CW2 training application. So give that a listen. Let us know what you think. And we will see you out on the trail. What's up, everybody? It's Will Preston with American Hard Enduro. I'm here with six-time winner, King of Motos, Cody Webb. What's going on, Cody?
Currently hanging out in the hotel room right now in Las Vegas. Headed to St. George, Utah to actually ride with like the top 8 or 10 guys, whatever it is, from King of Motos yesterday. Pretty excited to just do a bunch of crazy hard enduro lines with those guys with like the hard enduro burros thing that we're kind of working on. Just a bunch of video content, but yeah, just hanging out. Trying to recover a little bit from the beatdown yesterday.
Okay, so the top 8, that being yourself, Tristan Hart, Ryder LeBlanc, Will Reardon, Cooper Abbott, Colton Haker, James Flynn, Kewilo Huddy?
We're missing Colton Haker. We won't have Colton there, but we're adding Max Gersten in. So the media superstar of the U.S. Hard Enduro Series will be there. So he'll make the 8th guy.
Nice. Okay. So that's a solid crew. And where exactly y'all riding?
We're going to be basically in kind of the same area as Red Bull Rampage. I mean, it's in Utah, so outside St. George, Utah. So the weather's relatively decent this kind of year. It's a little bit lower, so it's not snowed in, but it's not, you know, it's just super awesome terrain out there. And I'm sure people have seen all the Red Bull Rampage stuff. So there's some good stuff out there for sure.
That sounds awesome. Yeah, I can't wait to check that out.
It's actually where we filmed Moto 5, I think, with Kyle Redmond and Taylor Robert.
Okay.
They're like the big, crazy rock slabs and formations and some other stuff out there. It was super fun.
Sweet. So take us a little bit through your King of the Motos weekend. Obviously, Saturday was the qualifier. How was the qualifier? Is it pretty quick? I mean, it looked like you did pretty well on Saturday as well.
Yeah, the qualifier was pretty good this year. It was longer than last year. Last year was just one lap. And then this year, the conditions were definitely a little bit better. It hadn't rained yet at that point, but the dust was kind of heavy, so it wasn't as dusty as it's been in years past there. So it allowed us to kind of get a little bit closer and battle with each other. So the first lap was pretty high paced. Everyone was getting it, and especially like the first 10, 15 minutes of the race, like everyone was dicing it out, mixing it up side by side, like fourth gear through sand washes and stuff. So that was pretty sweet. But yeah, it was a little bit longer than I would have liked to have done, but you know, it was still a pretty fun race, and I wasn't really planning on winning it. I just wanted to, you know, be top five for qualifying, essentially, to have a good pick for the start of the next day. But I kind of found myself in the lead there and snuck away from those guys, and then they all pitted and I just kept on going. So I was able to, you know, break away at that point and put on a charge so they couldn't catch me.
So when they pitted, were they just getting fuel, or were they, are they making changes? What's going on at the, with the pit?
I think they got a, probably got a splash of fuel, but not much. We didn't need a ton. Yeah. I think the whole race was like 27 miles, so it wasn't too bad, really. But okay. Yeah, they stopped, and then they were uploading the next map on their GPS, where I just put all, like, both maps on at the same time and left them running. So next thing you know, they were all messing with it, trying to figure out how
which
I got my yeah. So I guess the strategy played in my favor there, because I didn't have to stop, and they then you know, let me get away from them.
Is that confusing at all, having two routes loaded onto your GPS, trying to figure out which one to follow?
Yeah, it was almost even a little bit trickier the next day, because I had three maps on at the same time. Yeah. But I just set the colors, and I did on both ones, at the, like both my GPS units at the same time, so they were both consistent. And, you know, I had blue as the main line, because that kind of stood out the most for me.
Yeah.
And then I'd use blue, purple, and red, so they were all kind of little... similar for the most part, but they had signage at each kind of transfer or different loop. So, you know, on the second lap, it was like, oh, lap two route. So, like, you know, I knew I wasn't going to go the wrong way. So then you just follow the one on that before it meets up again eventually with the main loop.
What GPS units do you run?
I'm running the Garmin. There's a whole bunch of different options, but the Garmin eTrex 22X, which is a little bit better than the one I used to run. It has some more color options, but I think like the 32 has, like, you can like wirelessly share tracks and maps with people. So I don't have that one. I got the plug-in one.
I think I've got like the 20X, the eTrex. It's probably, I don't know, 10-year-old version of what you've got, basically.
Yeah, that one I don't think has like the color coding options for the map track layout. Maybe it does, I don't remember, but I had that one originally, and then I got the 22X.
Well, for the one GPS event I've ever done, it worked pretty well.
Yeah, well, there you go.
All right, so that was Saturday. I guess the results were kind of the same guys, right? It's like you, Tristan, Ryder, Will, Cooper, you guys, Colton, you guys kind of all right there together?
Yeah, that was pretty much how Saturday's race went. And then
I guess it rained Saturday?
Yeah, it rained Saturday afternoon. So after we finished, you know, all the amateurs out there on the track had to deal with a little bit colder temps and getting wet. So it was a good time for us to finish the race, at least.
And it never rains out there, right? I mean, this
not is... that often. Not that often. It rained once before on us a couple of years ago during the race of King of Motos. I forget what year it was. But, yeah, it was honestly, it was a blessing, man, that when we woke up that next day, it was still sprinkling a little bit on the start, but that was the best King of Motos we've ever had. The dirt was, it just made the race so much more fun and enjoyable. And honestly, we were getting better traction out there because the rocks are so grippy, right? So like, it wasn't that much of an issue to have put, you know, gritty sand from your wet tires on a rock to lose traction. It's not like Ohio mud.
Yeah.
So it made the race pretty enjoyable those first, you know, lap and a half, and everything was still wet, and it made the racing way tighter because now there was no dust to spread us out. So, you know, we were all just pacing right off each other like 5 seconds apart for nearly the whole race.
And y'all, I guess the first lap, what, do you start going up Chocolate Thunder right off the bat? Is that right?
Yeah, right off the bat, we're pretty much at the base of Chocolate Thunder, rows of 20. So that was kind of somewhat important for qualifying. Obviously, you want to be the first route, because otherwise you got to wait 2 minutes, and then there's still people left over in the group still in Chocolate Thunder from the row before, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, we went straight up Chocolate Thunder, and then you cross a little bit of an open desert valley, and I think we went up something called Jack North. It's one of the hammers. It was Jack Hammer, Sledgehammer, and I think it was Jack North or something we went up.
Okay.
Then we basically veered north and kind of did a big loop out there on the first lap, and they had some new trail, they had one really tight narrow section, which I was kind of nervous about coming on the second lap, and it definitely was an issue because the lappers looked super bad in that section. It was somewhat early in the race for those guys to be in a tight spot like that.
Gotcha. Okay, so lap one goes by, lap two goes by. You guys are still battling super close. So Ryder had passed you a couple times. Tristan, he was up there. Y'all three were right there, right?
Oh, man, it was crazy. And even the first lap, everyone was going after it. Like, I got the whole shot. I was leading across the desert, and then there was a line basically where it was in the creek. So I go to hop in the creek, and no one followed me, and they stayed on a road off to the side. So, like, it's pretty much within reason. Like, you know, if everyone does it, it's fine. So I was like, oh, God damn it. So then I went from, like, first to sixth, back to fourth, back to first, back to second. Like, everyone was taking turns leading. And at one point, we kind of broke away into a lead pack of four relatively early on. It was me, Ryder, Will, and Tristan. And I think Cooper made a big push to catch back up to it because he knew it's important to tag along with the leaders, you know? Mm-hmm. So Cooper caught us in this new section we'd never ridden called Downtown, which I think was honestly the hardest part of the whole race. It was just a never-ending canyon, and all the amateurs had to do it. Like, it wasn't like it was on the third lap. This thing was on the first lap.
Okay.
On the way back. So that thing was, it was a new canyon, really hard to kind of find the line. There was nothing in there, first time getting through it. So Cooper was in fifth behind us all. He caught us all when we were trying to navigate, and then he passed us all. So we went from fifth to first. Led us up this whole thing, and then he got to a crack and literally just destroyed himself in there trying to get out of there. So he went from fifth to first to sixth, and then, like, the next pack of guys caught him the time he got out of there. So that's where it's important to, you know, always keep that forward momentum. So, you know, we were all top five of us were in there again. I think actually six, because Haker was there with us as well at the back of it. And then I led coming out of that. It was like kind of a road and a long downhill at the end of the first lap. So it was end of the first lap in the pit. It was, you know, me. It was that lead four pack that was together for a majority of the race. Tristan, myself, Ryder, and Will. And then that second lap, I mentioned that one super narrow pinchy spot that we figured was going to be bad with lappers that next lap. It's pretty much exactly what happened, and Tristan was there leading at that point. I was in second, then Ryder and Will, and that's where we lost track of Will. Will got hung up just a little bit extra coming out of that section with the lappers, and he was never able to catch back onto our wheel again. So from there, honestly, like, obviously, you know, you want to win the race, but I feel like we teamed up like a little wolf pack. The three of us, me, Ryder, and Tristan. And, you know, there was nothing, no foul play or anything like that. We were just, you know, putting a charge on and a push. And you know, obviously, we still want to get on the podium, right? So we don't want anyone else to catch us. So we weren't playing any silly games. We were just all taking turns, doing our part, leading and navigating. And
so,
yeah, so
those that first lap, I guess it changes a little bit. The second lap, you kind of know where you're at. You're more actually racing the course and not worried about navigating. Is that kind of true?
Yeah, that's pretty true. We dropped into a section that we did last year, so there was an additional section on that second lap, and we had pretty much all ridden more or less what it was pre-riding, so it's very similar to last year. We went down a canyon that we had gone up. So, you know, at that point, I knew from the day before that I could do 27 miles without having to fill up, and that's what the last two laps were going to be. So I did a full tank of gas, like, to the top after the first lap.
Yeah.
And my game plan was, there's a really difficult section that was the end of last year's race called Dead Blow.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought process was, like, if I can be leading in a dead blow or past those guys in the beginning of dead blow, like, I want to put a charge and get away from them and then not even pit so they can't hang on to my rear wheel, you know? Mm-hmm. So I made a big push. I made a little bit of a gap. It wasn't a ton, maybe 30 seconds at the top of dead blow. So I was like, okay, here's my time. And then the GPS track again, it was funky, and I trusted the GPS too much versus my intuition. And then Ryder and Tristan caught back up to me again right away. So it's like, right. God dang it. So we all came together into the pit at the end of the second lap, you know, right on each other. And I was leading still, and I just came down and followed the track of the path of the pits and then just took off. And as I was wide open on the sand off up to Chocolate Thunder to hit it again without stopping, I looked back at those guys and they seemed a little bit flustered. So that, you know, that strategy was huge for me because it was so hard to break away. We're all riding so good. And like Ryder was riding top notch. Tristan's obviously the robot. So,
yep.
You know, it's, you need to make or break. And I don't think I've ever tried so hard on the last lap of a race in my life. I knew I had it in grasp, you know, so I just kept telling myself that fatigue is only mental. It's not real. It's just in your head. So,
well,
man, I pushed hard and I never let them, you know, they never got tired of me again. So that worked out pretty well for me.
When you left the pits in between those laps, started lap three, you honestly, I was like, is that Ken Roczen? I mean, you took off like a bat out of hell. I've never seen you ride that hard on fast stuff.
I mean, that was the time to shine, and I knew that was going to happen. I talked to, you know, Robbie Goolsby. Most people, I'm sure everyone knows Robbie. He's like, I think he's actually stepped up to a new role now at the KTM group, but
yeah.
Like a crew chief. He's okay. A crew chief now. But we chatted after the race, and he was saying how he knew the whole race was just going to be the last lap. It was just going to be us toying with each other, trying to beat each other down, and then the last lap was when the actual race happened, and that's pretty much exactly what happened.
Yeah, it's almost like old-school GNCC racing when those guys used to just freight train until the last lap, and that's when they poured it on. So it's interesting to see in a hard enduro.
And I think it's because it's a GPS race that really – there's some arrows out there, but it's just kind of for reassurance and in very few places, right? Just and they sometimes they put in a tricky spot. Like they make sure you kind of navigate to the right area before you see an arrow. Like they do a pretty good job about not making it easy.
Yeah.
To go for, there's not that many arrows. So.
So then when you see an arrow, you're like, okay, thank God I'm on the right path.
Yeah, I'm in the right direction. You just kind of keep going that spot. But by the time the second lap was, you know, everyone, it was pretty burnt in course. So, and the dirt was wet, so it showed up better. So this year was not that bad for navigation side of things.
Okay. Talk to us a little bit about bike setup for a race like this that has so much mix of high speed and then obviously, you know, really technical terrain. What do you do about suspension? What do you do about your tire setup?
Yeah, I actually have a different setting again from last year for Hardener. I literally tested it this week and I just was going off feedback from myself that I thought I needed from last season. And then after riding the Roof of Africa, I get an idea for getting beat up there. So I had a new setting. Honestly, it's like more plush in the forks a little bit, but then it stiffens up. So honestly, my suspension was pretty good out there for the faster-y type stuff compared to what I had been running. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that definitely helped me out, but it still was pretty compliant in all the small chop BS that's not fun, you know, like the medium enduro type stuff.
Yep.
So I had a different suspension setting. But, you know, Coop was still on the old stuff because he never had a chance to try it or anything like that. This was just kind of something I did with Race Tech. So I'm sure they'll send something to Coop to try now, see what he thinks about it. But, you know, that was helpful. And then I'm running the Smart Carb again this year for the Hard Enduro Series. So that was good for me in terms of fuel consumption purposes out there. So that was definitely,
I've definitely noticed my TPI drinks the fuel. So I wonder if the Sherkos have an advantage right now over, you know, the KTMs with economy.
Yeah. I mean, the TPI was pretty lean and I know like, you know, the guys at Two Stroke Performance brought that map over an ECU and stuff that richens it up and makes it run better.
Yep.
But the TBI, I think, is it just fixed it up by just richening up the mixtures. So it seems like they're not as efficient as what they were. So obviously still better than a carb because you're not losing fuel out of the float and stuff. But, yeah, and I don't know on gas tank size, you know, what's bigger or better. Obviously, you don't want to have a huge tank. So their tanks might be a little bit smaller.
Interesting. Yeah, there's just so much more strategy in a desert hard enduro, it seems like. I mean, like at Tough Like Roar, who cares about fuel? You have to stop to freaking just replenish yourself.
Get some water, yeah. Swap the whole pack out. Like I had a separate pack ready just in case. Like I had a big pack for this first two laps, and I was going to run a little bit smaller one because it was a 10-mile loop. So I was like, okay, well, I'll have that little bit smaller pack for the third lap. And then we had a spare wheel set up because we didn't know. I don't think anyone wanted to change a wheel, but we knew it could be an option. We had to do it out there before.
Yeah, I was going to say in the past, I remember y'all changing out wheels.
Yeah, but honestly, Justin's done a really good job with King of Motos the last few years and taking the rider's feedback because, you know, when Jimmy was running it, it was, you know, no one knew what they were doing then. It was a crazy first time kind of figuring it out deal. And Jimmy ran it as a rally race with extreme sections. You know what I mean?
Well, and they're used to full-size vehicles. It's totally different.
Yeah, so we were doing, like, we weren't racing what the trucks were exactly, but, you know, we're doing wide open across dry lake beds that are perfectly smooth, and I remember, like, on my beta looking down, I was wide open with the choke on doing, like, 89 miles an hour on a 300 two-stroke.
Oh,
like,
my God.
So, and you know, when you're going that fast and you got a gummy tire on, the knobbies don't stay on, they just fling off, so that was the issue before. It wasn't, like, it's so grippy out there, you're tearing your tire up on the loose stuff, and then you're flat out, and the tire's getting hot, and your knobbies just disappear.
Are you running did you run a gummy this weekend?
Yeah, so we ran gummies this weekend, and, you know, like I said, with Justin taking over, he kind of turned more into, like, a single-tracky hard enduro course, like a more traditional style hard enduro, so the speeds aren't as high. I mean, obviously, there's going to be some fast sections because you're in the desert, but the life of the tires have been preserved a lot more the last couple of years.
Nice. All right. Well, what else you got to say about that event? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly, it's a cool thing. We're early on in the Hammers thing, but, like, if anyone has ever seen any of it, like, we're just the sideshow, but it's cool to be a part of it because the amount of people that show up to that race is
insane.
It's pretty incredible. And then, obviously, I feel like there's more strategy involved, at least for me, there was strategy this year. I don't think the other guys were thinking about that, so they'll probably be scratching their head. Because honestly, like, you know, I did what I needed to do to get the win. I was super pumped about that. But, you know, it wasn't like, I mean, I beat them straight up, I guess, but it's also like I didn't beat them straight up at all because we were all either, out of all three of us, any of us could have won.
But it sounds like you were playing chess and they were playing checkers.
Yeah, something like that. Like, any of us could have won, but, you know, I talked to Ryder after the race, and when I skipped the fuel stop, he said he, like, got there and was, like, fumbling with his GPS, and, like, his mechanic handed the gas can, he just, like, held onto it, just staring, like, didn't take his gas cap off. he said it totally wrecked him.
Because you took off. He's like, what is going on?
Yeah. And he was freaking out too because the lap before he had issues loading his GPS. So he pretty much he said he just, he led for a bunch of it because it was the same exact course. But he said he's like, I have to follow someone. I don't know where I'm going. But then the GPS worked. But I think just multiple things stressed him out, he said. And it was funny talking to him after the race.
That's classic. So was that one of the premier rounds of the U.S. Hard Enduro Series?
Yeah, that was a premier round. So I was super stoked. And I had no idea the last time I won in one of those races. And, you know, I won Bonner last year and a couple other things. But, like, you know, it's not the real deal because, you know, not everyone's there. And when I say everyone, I mean T. Hart. Yeah. So,
well, he had quite the streak going.
Yeah, I think they said 16.
Oh, boy.
I wasn't counting, but then when I heard 16, I was like, God damn, man. Like, he's freaking been smoking us. So,
well, I mean, you've been battling injuries. You've had some issues, but he has definitely turned his game up.
Oh, yeah. No, he's been, like, that's why I think this one, this win, honestly, was super hard fought. There was a lot of respect, I feel like, between all of us up front, pushing that pace. And, you know, no one was letting their guard down at all. We were pushing hard. So it was really special to me. And it felt better than getting my first King of Motos win. You know what I mean? Because
nice. The
first time I won, I just like cruised to the finish and no one was even there. And, you know, the level's gone up so high now. It's ridiculous. So I dug deep. And that's for sure.
Do you know how many racers there were this year at King of the Motos?
Yeah, I think 120, 130 something. I don't remember exactly.
It's just a tough one to get to for us East Coast guys. I mean,
East Coast, yeah. And it's a pricey one.
Yeah.
You know, I think Silver Kings, it's not part of the series this year, but that's another pricey one too. But yeah, you know, for the pros, I think I spent $475 just to sign up and get my tracker for it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So. And the purse was $500?
Yeah, no, I actually did pretty good.
I'm just kidding. I did okay this time. Okay, well, that's good
to
hear.
That's why I could afford a $33 hotel room and $44 in resort fees.
Nice. Well, that's awesome.
Things are working out.
Okay, so I guess you're going to Hawaii here in about a month?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. Kind of doing a little family vacation out of it, but I halfway prepped my beater I had at my house that they're like, oh, maybe we can sell it. And I was like, well, I'm going to send it to Hawaii. So I halfway prepped it. And then luckily the guys at Sherco, I like kind of brought them a little bit of a beat up bike. It wasn't too bad, but they put a new pipe on for me and tire and helped me prep it up a little bit more to go to Hawaii. So it left last night, or it's leaving today to go to the container in San Diego. So I'm going to do both rounds there.
Nice. So those two events are, they're actually, okay, there's three events in Hawaii. Is that right?
There's two events. There's, it's in one on Kauai.
The Ultimate.
Ultimate Hawaiian Enduro or something like that. And then there's one in Oahu on the North Shore near Turtle Bay where Forgetting Sarah Marshall was filmed.
Yep.
There's one by there too. That one is, I can't pronounce the words. I don't want to butcher it, but it's at like a motocross track facility with a bunch of property. So I did that one before when it was like Enduro Fest. Maybe it's Enduro Fest again.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it looks like, I don't know, it's on there on the AMA US Hard Enduro page. It has three different events listed. Maybe I'm just looking at it wrong. Actually, yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm looking at last year's versus this year. So this year we've got the Ultimate Hawaiian on February 24th and then the Koa Mona on March 2nd. So
yeah.
That, man, I'm jealous. I know I told my wife last year, I was like, I want to go to Hawaii for these races next year, and it's too late now. I mean,
too late. Well, you got a little less than a week to drive to San Diego with a bike to get on the container.
Yeah.
You got
some time. Well, I literally can't leave my neighborhood. We had a snowstorm last Monday and got over a foot of snow, which is highly unusual for East Tennessee. And apparently the county ran out of salt. So they're
and
not
you
even.
You guys have a lot of humidity, so you have ice.
Well,
your ice is.
It's we've had like 8-degree mornings and then it gets up to like 35. So it's just enough to kind of get it slushy and then it just hard freezes. So every day it just seems to get worse. And today, like all the people sending texts around just showing dozens of cars just stuck on the road. They're not crashed. They just can't go anywhere.
Stuck
just
on flat ground. They can't
exactly.
go anywhere.
And there's nothing flat around here. So that's the problem. You just can't go anywhere.
You need some gummy tires.
I know. Well, my truck does pretty good, but boy, I don't want to crash it right now. So,
no, definitely not.
All right. So, what else? Tell me a little bit about this CW2 thing you got going.
Yeah, I'm honestly pretty excited about that. Honestly, it was my wife's idea. She's been bugging me for years. She's like, you need to share everything you've learned through the years and like help people out. And I'm like, yeah, I will. And then finally, at some point, you just need to like step up and make it happen. So I kind of started working on it last August, like right after TKO, actually on the way home from TKO. And basically I've just been compiling everything in my head in terms of, you know, bike prep, how to do obstacles, double blips, bladder, pivot turns, or, you know, riding on switchback, different ways to go uphill, just clutch control exercises. Like, there's so many different things, and I feel like it's a wide mix. It's not like, it's for all generic off-road, but it kind of caters towards the hard enduro sides, obviously, because, you know, I'm not a GNCC guy, but I do my best in that regard. So, all in all, it's just basically something I wanted to make available for people, everything I've learned throughout the years, and put it all on an easy platform for them. So basically it's going to have a ton of video content, with me talking about it and doing it and kind of giving you guys exercises. And then I got the written content that I've written out for it as kind of, you know, a guideline to reassure and reaffirm everything. So it's got all of that for you. And then as well, I partnered with Enduro Method, so they have some fitness side of things in there. Like, so yeah, and honestly for me, I feel like that's been my biggest increase this year. I've really been working super hard on my fitness and chatting with them as well. So if it helped me win King of Motos, it can only help you guys as well, you know?
So so if you do this, you're going to win King of Motos next year is what you're telling me?
No, because I'm going to win again, but okay. You can get second.
Okay, well, I'd take a podium.
And then as well, you know, I have my mental side of it, but I'm actually trying right now to get a actual sports psychologist to kind of put a protocol together as well. So, you know, I'm an expert in my field. I can share with stuff in other people's fields, but, you know, I got Hammer Nutrition. You know, they've given me protocols on, you know, nutrition. So it's got nutrition side of things. I'm working on the mental, I guess, strength side of things. We got the fitness side of things from Enduro Method, all the skills and drills and riding stuff from my side, and putting it all together in a pretty useful platform that I'm pretty excited about. And so
is this going to be like an
app? It's been a lot of work.
Is this going to be an app on your phone? Is it a website?
They have an app. I haven't worked on that part of it yet. I'm putting it all up on the browser. So it's on the website browser, and it's super handy platform that takes care of everything. I just put everything where I need to put it and make it make sense for you guys. And I've seen some other things kind of similar to this, but it's kind of sporadic and random. And I'm really trying to put it in a chronological order of, you know, here's your foundations and you keep moving through till you're finishing on the podium at King of Motos.
Nice. Is this going to be like a subscription, a one-time fee? How are you doing that?
Yeah, I think I'm going to do a subscription-based thing because I'm going to keep editing it and changing it as it goes. And, you know, obviously, I already talked to, not you, I talked to Drew.
Yep.
And your guys' crew. But, you know, I'm going
to... Everybody thinks we're the same anyway.
I basically want feedback. So, you know, like, people like you could be, you know, the American Hard Enduro crew could be collaborators and give me feedback on what I think I need to add, what I should take out, what I should be putting more of in. So I want the people to tell me what they want. So that's, you know, that's why I've done some of the polls and I've been looking online and seeing what people want to learn. So I got a lot of stuff in there and I plan on adding a lot of more. I have stuff on the schedule for what I add, but, you know, for now I've got a lot of filming out of the way with, I teamed up with Sky Pixel Media that did all the US Hard Enduro stuff last year. Those nice recaps. So Blake's been helping me out a ton and his wife Rachel, and, so he's editing the whole first bit we did, and then next week I think we'll finish up all the filming for the main release, and then, you know, from there on out we'll keep adding stuff periodically, and I got a lot of exciting stuff that I plan on putting up there for you guys.
Are you going to be able to kind of roll this into some of your, like, in-person classes?
Yeah, that's kind of the goal, really, is I can't do in-person classes everywhere, right? Like, I'm busy with racing. I have two crazy kids at home. There's just a lot going on. I can't be everywhere at once. So this is kind of the best way in my mind to, you know, help teach people and make them better riders. And honestly, the whole goal for this for me is just so you guys, like, the riders gain more confidence in their abilities on the bike, and just having that confidence makes you a better rider all around. So I can't be everywhere, but obviously it's going to be a lot more affordable than an in-person class for the day. So you can go about it at your own pace, and, you know, you can skip ahead if you want. You can honestly do it at any rhyme or fashion. And then on the platform as well, I plan on hosting like a once a month Zoom chat with everyone on there. So, you know, just talk about literally anything, any sort of questions, write questions down, put them up. And then even you can put questions. There's a, like a forum type board on there. So
nice.
It's pretty handy. It's kind of like Facebook, but it's like meant to, you know, share content for people in it's, I guess, lessons and encouragement, you know what I mean? So I want everyone to gain something out of it. Maybe find riders in your own area that you can ride with that are into similar stuff. And then as well, there's an option to upload videos. So if you're struggling with something, you can upload videos in there of yourself attempting something.
I like it.
Yeah, it's, you know, coaches' feedback. I'll give you guys feedback. And I've literally already had people emailing me, sending me videos, and I was like, well, it's not up yet, but like, I've literally, like, this one guy is doing this splatter on the rock three different times, and I like critiqued and broke down each one for him. So I'm already taking on the role, even though we haven't fully launched yet, but I'm here to help.
Well, I mean, that you could add those to the user library, because
yeah, I can make it look like someone uploaded already.
There you go. I mean, there's no better way to learn than from failing and then correcting it. So take off with that.
Yeah.
So, all right.
But cool. That's it. There's a lot of pieces to it. It's been a lot of work, so that's why it's taking a while. And it's not like this is my only job. I have other things to do.
Oh, come on,
so,
man.
I'm doing my best. I'm doing the best I can over here.
Right on. All right. Well, I mean, it's a beautiful start to the season. I can't believe the 2024 season has already started. Kind of snuck up on me. Obviously, it didn't sneak up on you. You seem really prepped. So congrats on that, man.
Yeah, thank you. I snuck up on them. They were like, this guy's still here. What is he doing?
We thought he was dead.
Yeah.
All right. Cool, man. Well, thanks for doing this. And hopefully we're going to do this, I guess, after all the big races this year, is until you get sick of doing it.
That's the plan.
We'll keep bringing this to people, and hopefully we can pick up some sponsors along the way to help pay the bills. But that's about it. And have fun out there in the Vegas, Utah area. Don't get any trouble at the Stardust or wherever you're staying.
Yeah, no, I'm out of here. I'm leaving after this, so no gambling for me.
All right, man. Have a good one, Cody.
I gambled yesterday. It worked.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Big win.
Yep.
All right, later, man.
See ya.